B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Brady, left foot forward, leans forward for the side. Signaling to Edelman as he takes the snap. Backs up, looking to the end zone. Lobs it toward Edelman in the back corner.
Oh.
Knocked incomplete. Patriots looking for a flag. Breland on the coverage. And Kansas City takes over on downs.
This crew, that's Jerome Boger and his crew, should be looked at to be docked. And I don't know how you dock them.
That is a good play.
Because they've actually ruined an actually really good football game.
Mahomes in victory formation takes the knee. And the Chiefs are going to improve to 9-4. Well, the Patriots are going to suffer their third loss to front-running AFC teams.
All right, hour three, Felger and Maz. My second guess is there you are in the red zone, and you're throwing to Edelman, who's never, even on his best day, been a big red zone threat.
Correct.
Right? He just hasn't. Meanwhile, you spend a first-round pick on a guy who's huge. He's got great physical traits. Big, strong. Doesn't know your offense, but is good along the boundary. He never gets a look. Is even on the field, I don't think. Never mind that you send a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, who does have size, and you're not even looking, and he doesn't even get a, he gets one official target in that ballgame in the first half, and that's it. So that's my second guess. It also is the DN Van Lines move around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover DN Van Lines. So Antonio Brown, I'm just taking you back now in time. Antonio Brown blows up, and you don't want to just leave that to the side. You still want to help Brady and surround him. So you're going to make a deal. You're in on Manny Sanders, and you're in on Mohamed Sanu. And you settle on Mohamed Sanu over Emmanuel Sanders. And just as we're playing that cut, as I'm talking about this, they're showing highlights again from the Niners and the Saints, and I watched most of that ball game yesterday. If you watched that game, you saw what a freaking force, what a playmaker Emmanuel Sanders is. Quicker, more explosive, excellent hands, goes inside, goes outside, goes deep. He threw a touchdown.
He averaged almost 23 yards a catch.
He was all over the place, dynamic. The ball also bounced off his hands for an interception, but, you know, just all over the place, Manny Sanders. So what did you see in Mohamed Sanu over Manny Sanders? And one thing you would say is size and physicality.
Yep, no question.
So now you're in the red zone and you don't even look at the guy.
Yeah.
So there's a second guess for you.
Absolutely. Look, again, that's been really the area all year long that has hurt them. And it was the one reason to go get Sanu, other than the fact that you could have him for another year. So look, he's banged up, I think. Okay, I mean, I have to believe there's an injury there. But because to not target him in the second half, how do you explain that?
It's got to be. It's the high ankle sprain, which he sustained on a punt return, which I'll remind everyone he had only done once in his career before joining the Patriots.
I mean, I'll tell you what, Murray, now that you bring that up, that's such a great point, too.
It's so aggravating.
You trade for this guy. You can't just stick someone back there to fair catch the freaking thing. Like, because really, and look, I like Sanu, okay, but is he a game breaker back there?
No.
No. So just put someone back there to catch the effing ball and be done with it. And then turn it over to Brady and go forward. But you put him back there, and now he's hurt. So whose fault is that? Like, that, you know, so to me, the size was a reason to bring him in here over Sanders. But if you're not going to use him in the red zone, then what's the freaking point?
Okay, so big issues with the receiving core. Last week I spent a fair amount of time trying to make sure that Brady was given his due criticism for how he played in Houston. I'm not going to do that this week because I think this was more on the receivers, even though Brady wasn't great either. But he put the ball on Jacoby Myers three times that should have been caught. Two of them really cost you points. The third and seven that he drops in the first half. And again, I don't know if Bill would have lined up to kick it because he's petrified of his field goal team. But either way, that third and seven gets you into field goal range. That cost you 3 points. And then he dropped a ball in the end zone. That cost you 4 because he ended up kicking it. So that totaled 7. Jacoby Myers, his drops cost you 7 points on his own. There's the gap in the game.
I mean, you got to catch that touchdown.
You have to catch that.
You got to catch that touchdown. To me, that's a, you know.
But to me,
they got a drive on that. I mean, they got a field goal in that possession, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, that's a huge difference because at the end of the game, you just kicked the three and now you're an OT.
It just opens a bigger question to me, though, that Myers is getting those opportunities. Where's Sanu? He says a second-round pick. Where's N'Keal Harry? He's been a first-round pick. Jacoby Myers was a non-drafted roster bubble flyer. Sort of And so, like, he's still overachieved for what he is. That no, the story is that Sanu and Harry are giving you absolutely nothing. That's the story.
And after watching Harry on that play where he got called out of bounds and he obviously wasn't, after watching him on that play, you're telling me you can't throw him a bubble screen and let him break a tackle or two and pick up 12 yards?
Yeah, do the goofy crap he did with Cordero Patterson last year.
Exactly.
Why I didn't really like him all that much. At least with the body size of this kid, you'll be able to pull some of that stuff
now,
off.
No, he doesn't have the raw speed that Patterson does, but even so.
He's a moose.
He is. Like on that play, that was a great effort to get in the end zone. That was like a real athlete.
Okay, back to your reaction. If you want to weigh in on the latest cheating accusation, you can do that as well. George in the car. Go ahead, George.
Hey, guys. So it was a great meeting you guys on Saturday. But either way, I just wanted to talk about the offense. The offense, the refs sucked, but it doesn't excuse the offense not being able to string a couple of drives together. I mean, when you guys have the time, on your own personal time, go look at their scoring drives this year.
Yep.
They've all come from the special teams or defense.
Yeah,
they have. Good field position.
Yeah, yesterday's another one. I'm sorry, George. I didn't mean to cut you off. But that first time, they got two penalties called on the first drive. One was a long PI. The other one was a shorter. I think they were both PIs. The first one might have been a defensive holding. But even so. Then the second one, same type of deal. Yeah. I mean,
Here are their five biggest plays yesterday by yardage. You ready? Flea flicker, touchdown, 37 yards.
Okay.
Running back pass, White to Myers, 35 yards.
Yep.
Defensive pass interference, 31 yards. That was to Dorsett on the first drive, which was, that was a PI. You had another defensive pass interference for 24 yards. You had a White 19-yard run in the second quarter and Brady 17-yard scramble. Five of your top six plays yesterday.
Trick plays or penalties.
Flea flicker, DPI, Brady scramble. Longest run in 3 years, ultimate fluke play. Those are your top five of your top six gainers yesterday in that game.
I mean, so Bedard will be singing about this tomorrow, I'm sure, with the explosive plays talk. But I almost have a bigger issue with their inability to move the ball with any sort of consistency at all.
To me, I'm far more concerned with this number. 2 for 12 on third down.
Brutal.
I don't care about big plays. Move the chains.
Brutal on third down.
Here's Chris in Fall River. What's the problem, Chris?
Come on, guys. I listen to you all the time. Question is, how can you say anything if the receivers can't get open, the running back can't get open, because there's no line to protect Brady? There's no one to protect anything. The guy has no time to throw the ball. As soon as he says hike, they're in the backfield. We got a makeshift line. We got all backups for our lines now. David Anderson's out. Andrew is out. Trent Brown.
Chris, let me stop you. In the past, you've had line issues. You've had a guy miss here or there. I mean, you won your first five Super Bowls with a different right tackle every time, I think, or something like this. So you've had guys mix and match, and usually by the end of the year, you've developed a rhythm. You've figured it out. You've got a rotation, and usually Dante Scarnecchia has figured it out. That has not happened this year.
No. Again, and even after Wynn came back, it feels to me like the last couple of weeks, they've shown no real desire or willingness or ability, for that matter, to run the ball with any sort of consistency. And you know what? Yesterday, Kansas City's D-line. I mean, look, Chris Jones is a player.
The rest of them are stiffs.
31 in the league against the run. 31st in the league.
If you can't run on that team.
Everyone has run on them. And like, you can't get a sniff on the ground.
So what is, like, if you can't run on them, that's a bad sign. Boy, is that a bad sign.
And the same thing for the Bengals next week, too. They got run all over by Cleveland yesterday to the tune of almost 6 yards a carry. So if they can't do it against them, too, it's real.
Sony,
like, a
Michel,
real problem.
5 attempts, 8 yards against the second worst rush defense in the league.
Yeah, and I think he caught one pass, which went for about 2 yards. It might have been a couple of catches, but he got no yardage on them, and that was it. He was done. He was useless yesterday.
One catch, 1 yard. That's Sony Michel in the passing game.
And there was 9 snaps for him yesterday.
So 9.
11 snaps combined for your first round picks, your offensive weapons of the last two drafts.
I'm telling you, good. McDaniels has got to start getting a little more, start thinking outside the box.
Well, but he had those flea flickers. What do you call those flea flickers?
Okay, so those are trick plays, Mike. But I'm saying, in terms of their regular offense, bubble screens, pony formation, something that they can allow them to gain yards with consistency. Because the trick plays are great, but how many of those can you run?
Mike in Warwick, Rhode Island. Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Hey, you guys just stole it from me. I was going to say about the offense. I know the offensive line is bad right now, but Sony Michel, what did you say last year, Maz? He blows. You watch him go left to right. He's got no explosion. He's got no burst. You stole it from me. I'm glad you put me on. Thanks, guys.
Okay, babe. Sucks and blows, Mike. There was a run. I might have been his last attempt. It was the second or third series where he went around the left end. I thought he went around Wynn, maybe went inside of him, but it was on the left side. And he had some daylight there on the left. And he just ran straight into the tack. He didn't juke him. He didn't try and outrun him. He didn't try and outmuscle him. He just went right down, right into the tackler on the left perimeter.
And he pulled up, too, if I remember right. He pulled up a little, too.
You got to do something. Do something.
I mean, I noticed it as soon as Burkhead got in the game. I went, well, they're going to go with Burkhead. Now, on the first handoff, Burkhead went left. I want to say he got 3 yards. They might have given him 4 on the sheet. I don't remember. But the one thing I remember turning to the guy next to me and I said, at least he ran hard. Burkhead runs hard. I don't think Burkhead's very good, but he ran hard, which is more than I could say for Michelle yesterday. Michelle yesterday was useless.
We continue with your calls and reaction right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
And Mahomes from the gun on 3rd and 2 takes the snap. Under some pressure, steps up, throws across the middle. Kelsey makes the catch. Curls back to the 35. Ball's knocked down. Gilmore picks it up. He's on the run to the 50. Yeah. Gilmore to the 45, 40.
Cut back.
And now the play is stopped with the whistles to sound. Devin McCourty undercutting Travis Kelsey. They're going to say that Kelsey was down by contact. Kelsey curled back.
What a dumb play by Kelsey.
The first down marker. The video board shows it, and Bill Belichick just fires the challenge flag again on the...
That ball's out! Ball is out! Gilmore was running free at the 30 when Boger blew it dead. Gilmore had a highway to the end zone.
Well, let's hear what Boger has to say.
After reviewing the play, it is a fumble. It's a clear recovery by New England. It'll be New England's ball, 1st and 10, at the 43-yard line.
Why is it at the 43?
And Bill Belichick signaling
it
the
should have been a touchdown, off a turnover.
Gilmore.
I mean, bottom line, the game's too fast.
Could have been a touchdown for the pass, or at least a long return
quick
by Gilmore.
Whistles.
So the Patriots offense has to take advantage.
Oh, you had Collins in front of
not
him, too.
Do.
All right, Bob and Nizzo. I talk, you talk, I talk, you talk. But Zoe's right. That cost you 7. So the only yeah but I'd give with the officials, who were brutal and cost you in this game. And as I said earlier, it's rare that the officials actually ever impact the scoreboard, but this time they did. 9 out of 10 times, there'll be bad calls. They might even be slanted in one direction. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't impact the score. Yesterday it did. But the headline that you'll read, that the refs cost Patriots 2 touchdowns, is misleading because it all came on the same sequence. The Gilmore scoop and score, that should have been a touchdown. But you got the ball. You then drove down the field where all the, you know, questionable calls happened, frankly. The lost challenge on the spot. Well, that was actually just before that. But it was all just the same sequence. And then you had N'Keal Harry not being awarded the touchdown where he clearly stayed in bounds. And you ultimately kicked a field goal. So that cost you 4 points. It didn't cost you 14. Because if Gilmore had been allowed, if they hadn't blown their whistles and Gilmore had scored there, they would have kicked off to Kansas City and that whole other sequence wouldn't have happened. So it only cost you 4, not 14. But I don't mean to say only 4, because those 4 were huge. Huge! The 4 points means that that last drive, you're kicking a field goal to go into overtime versus trying to score a touchdown to go into overtime.
Correct.
Huge difference. You're lining up from the 5-yard line to kick the field goal. And you're going to make that one. So the officiating absolutely cost you in that game. And on that one, with the Kelsey one, like, how many times do these bozos have to be told to not blow the whistle on the questionable fumble? Let it play out and then go back and fix it after the play. But once you blow the whistle, you nullify any return. You prevent any return. They've been told this 4 million times.
They broke that rule twice yesterday.
And there's always some jackwagon who feels the need to blow his effing whistle. It's usually Ed Hockley. He's out of the league. So what? How many times? So even Al Riveron, who's incompetent and big problems there, he tells them. It's not like they're not told. Don't blow your whistle, and they still blow it.
Yeah, and on a play that is gray, touchdown or not, call it a touchdown and let the review take it from there, which they didn't do on the Harry play. Those two plays, they blew them both colossally.
Brutal. Okay,
colossally. So, now, that said, just quickly, because again, the Patriots weren't the only ones who got bad calls yesterday. The ones that they got were really bad. Kansas City got one early in the game that put them in a first and 25 when they called that the lineman for a crackback block. That was not a crackback.
They've cracked down on that play, and I've seen more bad flags on that particular call this year than almost any other.
Okay, so that created a first and 25, which became second and 25, and they scored a touchdown. And that came after they converted a third and 19. So all I'm saying is...
But what I'm saying is that didn't cost them points ultimately.
No, because they overcame it. That's all.
Yeah.
Because they overcame it. So, now look, I'm not... The Patriots got screwed on those calls. They did. They got screwed. The Harry one to me was worse because the points are on the board. Like, at least in the... Tyreek Hill was running down Gilmore. You could argue that maybe he catches him.
Oh, was Hill on the play?
Oh, my God. He was right there.
Oh, then Gilmore's not outrunning that guy.
So, now, again, I don't know. Does he get to the 20? Does he get to the 10? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets into the end zone. But Tyreek Hill was back there with him.
So... The whole sequence, it cost you only 4 points. I say only. I don't mean to say only because those were huge. Those 4 points were huge. But it cost you 4 points instead of 14. But it also cost you time. You know, you ran out of time. And if all that hadn't happened, you have time to get Kansas City to punt one more time and you get one more crack at it. So the time was big, too. The officials helped cost you that game.
Totally.
And I don't think I think it's rare that that actually happens. But this was one of them. Mike in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, you cost Blake Bortles the Super Bowl getting a play like that two years ago.
True, you're so right.
Miles Jack picked up a fumble, and it was 6 going the other way. Would have been 20-7.
Hey, look, I think there's been games where you've gotten the benefit of these calls. I say it, and you lose your minds. You lose your minds. Last year's AFC title game, you got some good breaks by the officials. That Jacksonville game, the Miles Jack fumble return, exact same thing as the Kelsey thing
absolutely.
Yesterday.
Absolutely, it's a perfect comparison.
They got porked on that. I thought your Super Bowl win over the Falcons, you got some nice calls there down the stretch. You hate to hear that, but I'm sorry, Mike. Finish your call.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly what you were just picking up on it. You know what? You've been getting calls like that for a long time.
I'm sorry. They cut both ways. I always feel like more often than I feel like this whole run, the Pats have gotten some good breaks.
Sure they have. You need those too, right? I mean, again, I don't take those away from them. The one thing I would say that is important to recognize is, look, in a lot of those other years, if a call went against them, they were good enough to overcome it. I'm not sure they are now. That to me is sort of where I end up on this thing, that they get screwed. There's no question they get screwed. And they're not as good as they used to be.
Okay, here's Rocco in Saugus, who likes to hang out in East Somerville. What's going on, Rocco?
Yeah, I'm just having a late lunch, having some Peruvian ceviche here. It's like heaven in your mouth every time you eat this, man. I recommend it, Mike. Highly recommend it. But listen, my call was on Brady, okay? I called a couple of weeks, but you know why Brady doesn't have any time? It's because they're blitzing him. They're blitzing him numerous times. Now, I don't know why people haven't done this in the past, but he can't read the blitz like he used to be.
It's not him, Rocco.
This is not 2007. This is 2019, Brady. He's not good anymore. Let's just put that out there, all right? Thank you for the call.
Okay, Rocco. Brady's lost a step, he says.
It's not him on the blitz. And he's right to say that they're bringing pressure constantly. I was watching some of the game again this morning, and the Chiefs brought pressure a lot.
Yeah.
They did. So, again, I'd like to hear Bedard's numbers tomorrow. He'll break it down in detail. But to me, it's got everything to do with the fact that Brady doesn't know who's going to be open on those because he doesn't trust them. Which they brought pressure on the final play of the game. So what did he do? He went to Edelman, right? And if you're playing the Patriots and you're going to bring pressure, who's the one guy you're going to defend? Edelman. Like, to me, it's pretty basic. Okay, they're just simple to defend now.
But even still, they shouldn't be. On the last play of the game, Edelman has single coverage and the flat's open. So Brady recognized it. He and Edelman communicated it. Edelman had a one-on-one matchup. He had leverage, meaning the defender was to his inside. He breaks outside. Brady was pressured, but there was enough time to put it in a better spot, and Edelman, and they didn't execute the play. So there's a little bit of that, too.
Sure there is. Yeah, that ball's going to be more outside. If he throws that ball more outside to the sideline, Edelman catches it.
And I don't know if they were blitzed the play before, the 3rd and 12, but I think they definitely left 6 points on the board the play before. on 3rd and 12. I invite you to go back and watch that one, especially the angle that the, you know, the CBS crew shot it at. It looked, you know, Tyrann Mathieu laid way off him, and he had a really clear lane into the end zone, at least to that first down marker on the play before, and Brady put it kind of low and didn't allow him to run after the catch. That was almost as important, I think. Scott in Vermont, what do you got, Scott?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. The question about Harry's touchdown, why wasn't that automatically reviewed when it was in the end zone or around the end zone?
It's got to be a touchdown for it to be automatically reviewed.
Okay.
So that's
right,
that's what Maz is saying. When in doubt, just call it a score, right, and teams don't have to burn a timeout or burn a challenge. That automatically goes upstairs, and so you err on the side of calling the touchdown there and let replay clean it up.
I mean,
it's just like when the ball's on the ground, you err on the side of fumble and let it go on the return to let replay clean up if you get it wrong.
Right, you'll get a second look at it that way, but not with these ass hats.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, and the amazing part about the play is that he was in bounds.
I mean,
they called something that wasn't even there.
That side judge, or I don't know, the back judge, whoever it was, who came and pointed to the side, he was so sure of himself. Like, he was very demonstrative about, you know, pointing at the sideline. How could you be that sure when you obviously didn't see it, dude? Well,
Bogar, correct, that idiot, afterwards said in the pool report that someone was in his way, so he couldn't see clearly, which, I mean, that makes it even look worse.
Someone was blocked out.
For you to be that demonstrative, right? You know, like, if you see it and you're sure and okay, yeah, no good, whatever. But to be guessing, and so like that whole pointing was just faking it?
I mean, what a mistake. Really, what a mistake. It's like, it's one thing if, you know, again, if you call a guy inbounds and he stepped out.
They fix it.
Well, then you say, okay, fine, the ball's on the three. No problem. Everybody's happy because that's what happened. On this one, they did the opposite. You morons. Oh, my God, was that unbelievable? That's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. That one's bad.
Okay, here's Murray, the latest on the, latest Patriots cheating scandal right here in the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mahomes from the gun takes the snap. Drops back, pressured up the middle. Off the back foot, throws deep down the left side for Hardman, who makes the catch at the 15. Runs it right and runs it into the end zone. Mecole Hardman got away from Jonathan Jones. And Mahomes stood in to take a hit and deliver a blow.
Is he faster than him? I mean, this is what you do. You cannot coach. And it is called speed. My God, Hardman going all the way from the right side of the field, running clear across, gets behind Jones. Mahomes calmly slides in the pocket and just puts enough air on the ball to where Hardman could go get it, catch it, and you don't have a chance after that.
How do you feel about the Patriots' defense in this game, Mass?
So, look, in the second half, they were good. In the first half, though, I was really disappointed. I thought Kansas City was able to convert some big plays on them. They had a 3rd and 19. 3rd and 19 that Mahomes fired over the middle and completed to Tyreek Hill. That was Jonathan Jones in coverage. And then, after a bad penalty, Kansas City had 1st and 25. They threw that little swing pass to Darwin Thompson, who dropped it. So now it's 2nd and 25. You've got him in 2nd and 25 after blowing a 3rd and 19, and you give up a long touchdown pass, Jonathan Jones again. That one pissed me off. Like, I look at that and say, if you are allegedly the number one defense in the league and a historically good defense, you can't give up a touchdown on that possession.
So they were good. I mean, what was it, 23 points on the board?
Yeah.
They were good in the second half.
That's good. It's just,
I'm with Murray. They were good in the second half. They give up 20 in the first half.
Am I greedy to want a little bit more?
No.
In that game.
No, for all the talk. Sorry to cut you off, but for all the talk and the boogeymen, and by the way, the linebackers, what have they really done in the last handful of weeks, or at least against the really good competition in these losses to the Ravens and Houston last week and now Kansas City yesterday? They've all kind of disappeared. And I would expect more if you're going to call yourselves the boogeymen and try to sell some merch and stupid T-shirts. I just think they've been overrated.
I mean, I tend to agree.
Overrated doesn't mean suck. So some people had them, again, right, with the record-setting defenses. That's overrated.
Yeah, they're good. They're a good defense. Unfortunately, again, I come back to the same thing I say about the offense. Like, they need to be great. Like, the defense needs to be great. They were, you know, I don't want to say part of the problem yesterday, but...
Bottom line, 23 points is a winning performance. It is.
Should be.
It is. Still, though, I mean, if we're being fair, to play your side of the street, they also gave up... Let me just give you a list of quick plays here. A 3rd and 10 that led to Kansas City's first field goal. The 3rd and 19 Maz is mentioning over the middle versus Jones on their first TD drive. A 2nd and 25 Chuck to Harmon that you just heard right there, Hardman, for 48 yards and the touchdown. Okay. They gave up a 20-yard play to Kelsey on 3rd and 5 right after Brady's interception. They gave up a touchdown to Kelsey on the read option play on 3rd and 4.
How'd you like that one?
Wildcat play.
A little annoying.
And it was easy. It was easy. Way too easy.
3rd and 4. 3rd and 4. And then you gave up field goal drives to end the second and begin the third quarter. So it's not like you were locked down, but that is a good offense. Like you sort of say, yeah, 23 points is the winning performance. That is. I mean, bottom line, story over. That I thought the 25-yard, the long touchdown to Hardman on the 2nd and 25, what a great play that was. Mahomes threw that when his back was turned to him before he had declared his cut. I almost want to give Jonathan Jones a pass on that. I mean, he was on him. He was down the field. It's just, talk about a receiver and a quarterback being on the same page or just sticking to whatever it was. That was a chuck deep down the field. Mahomes let it go with Hardman's back to him before he had cut, and they were on the same page enough to complete that play. That was a pretty snappy offensive play.
Yeah, look, again, in some ways, you know, not unlike if you remember the one he threw to Tyreek Hill, was it a couple of years ago up here where he outran Harmon? I mean, it was a similar kind of play where Mahomes is sort of running out to his left.
Last year in the regular season.
Was it last year?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, you know, I get them all mixed up with Kansas City, for crying out loud. The way they tore... The reason I'm irritated at Jones, this is 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row. Houston torched him on consecutive plays. He, you know, he punched the ball out on the first one. They ran it again. They got a touchdown. And then on this one, he gave up the 3rd and 19. So now I feel like, okay, so this is where teams are going to go. They're going to go after Jones. Is this the deal? They tried to throw at Jackson early in the game. He made a pick. And so maybe they've decided now this is the weak link in that secondary. And I don't know that it is. I mean, Jones overall has had a pretty good year. But I also feel like, Mike, 3rd and 19.
Well, be sure to bring up this particular play with Bedard tomorrow because he seemed hot in the postgame last night, not just about Jones on the play, but that they blitzed on that. And they hung him out to dry. And I think he said the same thing kind of happened in Houston the prior
week. I'm sorry, on the 3rd and 19 or the long touchdown?
Yeah, no, 3rd and 19. I actually read this. He wrote about this. It was a bad defensive play call is what he said.
Okay. Meanwhile, anything new on the cheating scandal there, Murray? Or is it...
It's done, Mike. It's...
It's over?
Yeah, it's over.
The Bengals have accepted
I don't know if the Bengals have accepted it, but there's no new information as of right now.
So just let me say, look,
I'm ruling out nothing until I know what's on that tape.
Exactly. To go back to the very first thing, if Bill gets caught doing this again, he's done.
Josh McDaniels is coaching the Patriots next year. That's what happens.
Okay, so if he gets caught, he's done. So I don't think he would be so stupid and reckless to risk his reputation again, never mind his availability, on the Bengals or anyone. I'd like to think that's all in the past because the risk is too great for all of them since they've all been caught once before. So I don't think there's anything to it either. But just let me say, the whole thing about, well, we're with Kraft Productions shooting a sideshow, they've used that excuse before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they told their cameraman back in Spygate, that if you ever get caught, just say you're with Kraft Sports Productions. They used to give them Kraft Sports Productions shirts and logoed gear to wear to say if anyone ever questions why you're shooting the sideline, tell them you're shooting scenics for Kraft Sports Productions. Or they would steal a media vest and pretend they're a regular media member. Photographer 139 was Matt Estrella in Giant Stadium that when you got caught in 2007. So they've had explanations in the past.
138.
That was 139.
NFL photographer 138.
Okay.
So I went as Halloween 1 year as NFL photographer 138.
So the whole thing, you know, just we're shooting for Kraft Sports Productions. They've used that before. I think they used that in Green Bay when they got kicked off the field. They got a guy kicked off the field in Green Bay, 06 or whatever year it was. So that's what they were told to say. Now, I'll just say it again. I don't think that I can't believe that Bill would risk all of that
me neither.
Freaking Bengals.
The only update close to anything.
But all I'm saying is they've you know, we're with Kraft Sports Productions is what they're told to say.
ESPN's Diana Russini tweeted within the last 10 minutes, the NFL League office has a copy of the videotape, and the Bengals organization has the original. What's on the tape tells the truth.
Exactly. So we'll find out. So the Patriots have apparently, and I didn't know this, a YouTube special, Do Your Job, where they profile different guys on their staff, I guess.
Yeah.
And they got a credential from the Browns where the game was to shoot this scout up in the press box, to shoot film of the scout doing his job up in the press box. So the Browns knew of it and credentialed the guy. The Bengals didn't know, nor the league didn't know. So the Bengals saw the Patriots, someone in Patriots personnel, not disguised, Patriots personnel, shooting this scout. And they're like, why is the camera pointed at our bench? Now, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, who knows? Maybe he was pointed at the scout at his desk and the bench just happened to be behind him in the background.
Who are you and why are you here?
So I don't blame the Bengals for being like, you know, at 1-12 or not 1-12. It's like, what are you doing? Because they didn't know. They weren't notified. So they did what you would want your team to do or anyone to do. They told the league. They said, hey, look at this. And they got the tape. So the tape's going to tell it. If it's the scout writing out notes on the desk, no problem. If it's Zach Smith giving hand signals, well, then that's a different story.
Can you imagine if that's what turns up in this tape? Now, again, I can't
believe that that's
what's on there. Neither. Honestly, me neither. And again, I looked up the story. It was NFL Photographer 138.
Very good. Your memory's good on that.
Oh, yeah. No. That one I don't forget. That one's etched in there. In this particular case, I have a hard time believing the Patriots would do something this stupid. I do. After everything that's gone down between Spygate, Deflategate, now all of a sudden this is going to pop up again.
But how quick did the cartel have the explanation?
Fast.
Oh, my God. Did the Pats work quick on this one?
Yeah. And they're in, you know, I think this tells you how much it's probably they're telling the truth, that they were so aggressive to get out to people so quickly that no, wait, because they understand the sensitivity of the issue.
Well, no, it's standard. It's Patriots 101.
Yeah. This is fast, though.
Deny, accuse. Let's wait till we get the accusal. Till we start mocking the Bengals and ripping the league, that's the accuse phase of it.
Okay, so this is just deny.
We're still in the deny. So we're on the first deny. We're going to get another deny. And then we're going to turn around on the league, Goodell, and the Bengals. It's standard. And so this is Patriot 101.
Yeah, someone doctored the tape.
Exactly.
that's coming. Somebody spliced it.
So the tape will tell the story. Back to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
And it's the pistol formation with Kelce to take the snap. He fakes it inside. He runs it up the middle, and Kelsey's into the end zone. Trickery by the Chiefs with that formation. And on the pistol formation, a snap to Kelce and a run up the gut. And another Kansas City touchdown.
Well, chess versus checkers right now on you. Because right now, you're getting out-coached. That's a great job by Kansas City advancing what you've looked at in the 2 New England losses. When you go pistol, you do the double pony with a direct back. New England is yet to stop it against Baltimore. They didn't stop it against Houston. And then Travis Kelce just played quarterback and took it right up the gut off the fake.
Insult to injury, that tool bag scored. But were you out coached yesterday?
Yeah, I would say a little bit. I'll tell you what, because I think that in the first half, Kansas City's offense still gave them trouble, Mike. Like, I look at it and say, 20 points in the first half.
Were you out-schemed? Were you really?
Yeah.
Well, Spagnuolo got them again.
He did too. Yeah.
See, I think Spagnuolo got you more than Andy Reid. Kansas City speed got you. Like, again, that long touchdown to Hardman, that's just...
I had a feeling that kid might be a problem.
Great throw, great catch, speed. Like, were you out-schemed? Were you fooled on that play?
No. No, but again.
Okay, so third and 19, if they blitzed, you know, then that's a bad play call, fine. But I don't know. I don't feel like they were offensively out-schemed. I think they have speed, and Kansas City gets most teams. They held them to 23. I thought Spagnuolo confused your line, but then again, everyone's confusing your line now. So it's hard to tell.
I just expected more out of this defense in the first half. I did. I expected, again, third and 19. I don't know. Maybe that's not a coaching thing per se. That's a coverage thing. So maybe it is. Maybe it's not a coaching thing. Maybe it's more of a personnel thing. But when I look at the Patriots secondary, I say they built them for this game.
Well, they held them to 23.
And they gave up 20 in the first half.
If you take Perriman, that was who picked off Brady, right? If you take him at his word, well, they coached that up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They studied that.
I feel like Spagnuolo got you a little bit. But your offense is so anemic. Do you need to be fooled? You know, like, I don't know. I have some second guesses with Bill. Like, I think his not having a back man to return the punt there in the fourth quarter cost him 22 crucial yards. That could have been a field goal. I think that move backfired on him. That punt dropped on the 42-yard line. You could have started on the 42.
I told you, I didn't like the challenge. I didn't like the challenge on the Watkins play where they gave him the spot at the 40 and Bill challenged it. And look, I think the 40 was generous, but all he had to get was the 39 for the first down.
So that's a second guess. And I thought that the not going for points at the end of the second quarter was brutal. Just brutal. And I understand he doesn't believe in his offense. And I believe I understand Brady just got hit. All those things. You're on your 41-yard line. There's 54 seconds and you have two timeouts. You've got to use them. You've got to try and get points. And if you don't, you don't. But you've got to try. So when Bill keeps saying we played 60 minutes and we never gave up, that's kind of true. I thought they kind of conceded the middle of the game. They quit at the end of the second quarter.
Okay, so again, now you say schematically were they outcoached. And if I think about it, I say probably not. But we just rattled off four things that, you know, Belichick made mistakes on.
Yeah, right. So I don't think it was a good day. But when I say outcoached, I mean like out-schemed.
Schematically.
Like, you know, I mean, there's times you could say that Spagnuolo got him in that first Super Bowl against the Giants, right? That was, they had some great schemes up front that just befuddled you. I don't know if that happened yesterday. I mean, it wasn't like out-schemed. So that's what I mean when I say a coach. I mean out-schemed. I don't think they were. But Zoe seemed to indicate it on that play for sure. Paul in Rhode Island, give us a quick call here before the top of the hour. What do you got?
Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Belger, if you don't mind me calling you Belger. Hi, Tony. Hi, Jim. I just think that you should have the best referees for a high market teams
Okay, so what he's saying is you should have the best referee crews for the high market games, which is a good point. There should be the highly rated crews for those big marquee games. Pats KC is one of the biggest regular season games of the year.
Yeah, you want to put Jerome Bogart on Miami and the Jets, have a blast.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it stands to reason you should have a better crew. I'd personally like to see them have good crews at every game. That, you know, and I don't know, maybe that's unrealistic. But this guy sucks.
Yeah.
He's a terrible ref. Every time I see him, he sucks.
He's the Angel Hernandez of the NFL. I just want to live in a world where I don't have to know those names. I shouldn't know those names. No sports fans should know the name Jerome Bogart. And like you said, Maz, when you saw it yesterday that he had the assignment, same thing. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the a-hole that jobbed them against the Jets in overtime with the kick. They're like, oh, yeah, let's give the Jets another chance to kick in 2013.
I'm telling you, as soon as they showed him on the board at Gillette, I went, oh, God, not this guy.
You shouldn't know these people's names.
Richie in Florida. What do you got, Richie?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was questioning about the Mahomes face mask penalty.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear about it. But why did they decline it? Why didn't they take the penalty instead of declining it?
So my guess,
defense was doing so good.
Yes, my guess is it would have been half the distance to the goal, so it wouldn't have been much of a difference. I'm going to go back and look at it.
Yeah, my guess is they gave up a third and 19 earlier in the game, and so why give them third down again?
Well, but my point is that it wouldn't have been a true 15-yard penalty. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where the hell was this? Okay, so they were on their 23. It would have... Because it's...
Yeah, it would have been 11 and a half yards.
Yeah, so it's not a true 15-yard penalty. So if that would have been 11 yards, you would have had him in third and 16, third and 17.
Yeah, that's why. Because they gave up a third and 19 earlier.
I'm not giving Mahomes a third and 16.
No way. That's what it was. Bill didn't want to give him the shot. He fears that offense.
But that was the whole sequence. That was when Bill declined to put a guy back on the punt return. Cole Kmet was punting from his 23. And he ended up punting the ball 57 yards because it rolled. I went back and watched it this morning because I specifically wanted to see it. It dropped at the 42.
Yeah, it took an unbelievable bounce forward.
But you don't have a guy back. That's what you're asking for.
Absolutely. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it did. It had a big roll on it. That they got screwed on that one.
Well, Bill, no, it backfired. It didn't get screwed. You asked for that. If you had a guy back there, you fair catch it at the 42.
Screwed's the wrong word.
They ended up scoring. They ended up gaining 30 yards on that drive. That's field goal range. That ended up costing you 3 points potentially.
Bill screwed him on that one.
Thank you. Let's get the proper screwer, shall we? We have an hour to go. More of your thoughts and reflections on yesterday's game. The officiating, we'll let you scratch that itch today. It's deserved. They were that bad. And are the Patriots done? Be honest. Be honest. In the first half of that ball game, with some of those sequences, you're saying to yourself, it's over. When I mean it, I mean the whole kit and it's over. The whole thing's over. Were you saying that to yourself? Honestly, were you saying it? And is it? Is it still? We'll answer that question after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.